You have your Bibles. Let's go to the book of Acts. Book of Acts. And so stand with... that's okay. You can remain seated. But book of Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Title of tonight's message, The Blessings of Praying Together. The Blessings of Praying Together. And so Acts chapter 1. Let's go to verse 14. Of course, this is the early church days, you know, after Jesus rose and then leading to his ascension into heaven. But Acts chapter 1, and then verse 14 will be our main verse. I'll read that and we'll go to the Lord in prayer. And the Word of God says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Wow, let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a blessing to be in thy house. And Lord, I praise you again for your goodness and mercy to us. Thank you, Lord, for just your watch care and just saving our souls, Lord, through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his shed blood. Thank you, Father, that you hear us, Lord, now that we can call you Abba, Father, that we can pray to you, Lord, at our heart's desire. Help us, Lord, to also be blessed and thankful that we can pray together. And what a blessing it is that we can come together tonight, Lord, as a church body to raise our petitions and supplications to you, to praise you for who you are, to ask your will be done. And so, Father, now prime our hearts for the prayer time to come. Father, I ask you anoint these lips of clay, Lord. What a tremendous joy and a privilege it is to pray, but to pray to you collectively. And so, Father, I pray you hide me behind the cross, that your word will go forth with Holy Spirit power and encourage and bless hearts tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. The blessings of praying together. So simple a truth, yet so profound. The blessings of praying together, so needful and wonderful, yet typically so neglected and overlooked. The exemplary testimony we look at tonight of the early church praying effectually with one accord to the Lord. And by the way, let me just, it kind of dawned on me. I mean, it's so obvious, yet I can miss it. But my friends, we can only pray with one accord with each other. Okay, let that kind of sink in. We can only pray with one accord with each other. You know, it's something that we cannot do by ourselves. I'm not trying to, I mean, I'm just saying, it's like running the 4x4 relay. You know, we can only do it as a team of four. It doesn't matter how fast of a runner you are. If you don't have a team of four, you can't do it. You need other runners to participate. And yes, the team does need to be cohesive. It does need to be united. It does need to be in agreement, absolutely. But at the most fundamental requirement to even participate, we need other people. We need other prayers. We need other runners to run the race with us. And so tonight, here, is a tremendously unique opportunity. For how many others do we typically, or with how many others do we typically set aside time, like tonight, to pray with? That's the whole point of the midweek service, that we can come together and pray. I praise God, I believe in the Lord's leading of us here to pray together, not just for our weekly midweek service, but also it's been some years now. We've been incorporating a prayer time into the Sunday school time before the lesson starts. We have a time of prayer. That's precious. We even have a monthly prayer service in the afternoon, the first afternoon service of the month. We have a men's prayer breakfast. We have different avenues of prayer. But the joy of praying, and specifically prayer as a church body. In other words, praying corporate prayer, praying together, having a prayer group or a prayer team, a prayer partner. But specifically praying together is the engine of the church. Just as our private, personal prayer time to God in our prayer closets at home is the engine of our personal walk with God. Both are needful. Peter went up to the rooftop and prayed. And that's when the angel said, hey, Cornelius needs you. I mean, so he had his personal prayer time. But of course, when Peter was in prison, prayer was made without ceasing for him by the church. That's the assembly of saints. And prayer is the engine of our walk with God personally in our prayer closets, but collectively as a church. And so the pattern of praying together, I want to kind of observe and some takeaways from the church. I mean, it really blessed and encourages. I I like all services. Sunday morning is the day of the resurrection. I look forward to worshiping and praising God. The afternoon service tends to be a little bit more, not necessarily member-focused, but a little bit more intimate as we share blessings and testimonies. That's wonderful to be encouraged by your testimonies, how God is actively working in your life. You're blessed. I'm blessed by you being blessed. It's a wonderful thing. It knits our hearts closer together. It's a wonderful thing. And the midweek service, that's a blessing too. They're all, I don't know which is my favorite. I like them all. The midweek service, we get to come together, knit our hearts together to pray corporately as a body in Christ. I cannot do that as much as I want. I can't pray with other people solo. You know what I'm saying? It's a team effort. It has to be by all of us. That's a blessing that we can be here tonight. And so when we look at the pattern of praying together, it was a staple of the early church. They prayed together constantly. Church-wide prayer, corporate prayer, praying groups, having a prayer partner called, you know, different styles or formats or whatever. But the idea is at the fundamental, it was a fundamental part of church life for the early church was praying together. Persecution and hardships didn't deter it. It didn't hinder corporate prayer. In fact, it encouraged it. They really needed to pray. When the 3,000 souls got saved on Pentecost, it's a wonderful Peter preached its sermon. About 3,000 souls got saved. Those new believers continued steadfastly, the Bible tells us, in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in what? Prayers, right? That's Acts 2:42. And then so they, in other words, they learned how to believe like the disciples. They learned how to fellowship like the disciples. They learned how to break bread like the disciples. They learned how to pray like the disciples. And it wasn't 3,000 souls praying in 3,000 prayer closets. No, it was 3,000 souls. In fact, verse 44 says they were all that believed were together and had all things common. They prayed together. Now it says they assembled in the temple, and so that's where they did it. They prayed together in the temple. They might have broken up into homes after that, you know, in smaller groups, but still, it was still a prayer group. So that's a wonderful thing. And so the pattern of praying together has always been a staple of God's churches. We see it in the book of Acts, coming into the New Testament epistles. The priority of praying together. Our verse says tonight, these all continued. Acts 1:14. These all continued. Continued. What's the context of continue from what? Well, they were waiting, as Jesus told them, for the promise to be endued with power from on high. Right? And so let's go back to verse 3 and 4 in the book of Acts, same chapter 1. But back up with me to verse 3 and 4. And Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, he says in verse 3 here, God says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And so this is 40 days after Jesus rose. We know, of course, that the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised what he would send to empower them would come on the day of Pentecost. Pentecost. It's always 50 days after the Passover. That's where you get the Pentecost. It's 50. And so Jesus rose and ascended 40 days after his crucifixion. Pentecost would come 10 days later. So in this 9 to 10 day span, look at verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. So stay put. Stay put in Jerusalem. But wait for the promise of the Father, which of course is the Holy Ghost coming, fulfilled in chapter 2 on Pentecost, which saith he, ye have heard of me. And in Luke he told them, stay here till you be endued with power from on high. That's the coming of the Holy Spirit of God, to empower his church. That's a wonderful thing. But that's the context of verse 14. These all continued. The idea is they continued to be faithful, continued to assemble and gather together, and continued to pray together in one accord until the Lord Jesus Christ sent the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, of course, he's been here ever since. Praise the Lord. But if you want to apply that to us, help us, by the grace of God, may we keep assembling to pray together until Jesus Christ himself comes back. Amen. That would be wonderful, that we'll be found faithful. And prayer is the expression of faith. Jesus said, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? In other words, would we still be praying for him and to him? Will we be asking his blessing and lifting up our voices to ask supplication? That's essentially begging for God's blessing and mercy. What a thought. May we continue to pray with one accord until the Lord comes back, until God answers prayers, until God gives the increase, whatever the case is. Don't quit. Keep on praying. The disciples were praying together in the upper room. Now, don't forget, don't miss this. This is in addition to what they were doing anyway. Let's go back to Luke chapter 24, which of course Luke penned this as well as Book of Acts. But Luke chapter 24, right at the end there, it's amazing how Scripture says this. Luke 24, verse 52, the last two verses. Luke chapter 24, and then verse 52 says here, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple. So this is after Jesus was ascended, praising and blessing God. Amen. And so they went to the temple to praise God and to bless God. Hallelujah. But they continued from Acts 1:14 to assemble in the upper room with one accord to pray to God. And so they did both. All right, don't miss it. They continue in the temple to praise God and to worship God, and we need to do that. But they kept assembling, and this is not just the 12 disciples. In fact, if you go back with me to Acts 1, who's all there? If you go to verse 13, yes, the 12, it says, and when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes and Judas the brother of James. So all 12 are there, or 11 minus Judas, of course. And then look at verse 14. These all, so the 11, continue with one accord in prayer and supplication. Now this is in the upper room. In addition to them doing their worship and praising God in the temple, this is in the upper room where they still assemble tangibly together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. That's amazing. Again, these are the brethren that neither did his brethren believe on him. Now they've come around. That's a blessing. That's wonderful. In fact, not just that. If you take a peek at verse 15, that's, you have the 120. And so the rest of the disciples. So that's a pretty good-sized group. And so they were all there, all assembling in the upper room, praying together while they were still worshiping God in the temple. You know, and it kind of really hit me. To some degree, that's what we desire to do. We worship and praise God on Sunday morning, but we still worship for a midweek service. We come together and pray. That is a wonderful thing, the pattern and the priority of praying together. And then I want us to see my last point here, the power of praying together. We need to, of course, pray together with one accord. But praying in and of itself also unites and brings together our hearts and mind into one accord. And it kind of got me thinking, it's kind of like, you know, how I need to be in shape to run a race. But running the race in and of itself also gets me in shape or helps me to get in shape to run that race. And that's what prayer does. We need to be praying in one accord, in agreement, absolutely. But praying also in and of itself unites our minds together and knits our hearts together. It's only by the grace of God, it's only by the power of prayer that the 120 plus the disciples, everyone else was in one mind and one accord. That is amazing. But that's what prayer would do. You've heard it said before how true it is. A church that prays together stays together. A family that prays together stays together. A marriage, a couple that prays together stays together. That's so true. Don't have to turn there. But Matthew 18:19, Jesus says, again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that ye shall ask, it shall be done of them, done for them of my Father which is in heaven. That's awesome. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree, so even just two, let alone 120, what a blessing, if they ask in agreement, God will answer, or at least more prone to. Again, that's what God desires. Again, God's will be done, absolutely. And we have to pray God's will, and we pray in unity. We don't discount that. But God is thrilled when we pray in agreement. And my friends, we can't do this solo. We can't do this on our own. We need to have a prayer partner, a prayer group, a prayer team, a prayer a prayer body as we come together to pray. A prayer partner, by the way, that's a real blessing. I don't know if I'll say a rarity, but it'd be nice if folks had more prayer partners, right? It'd be a wonderful thing if folks had more folks had prayer partners. It's a joy to have someone that you can confide in. It's a joy to have someone who has your back praying for you. Turn with me to Matthew 26. I want us to see Jesus in his darkest hour coming up to his crucifixion. Of course, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. But let's go to Matthew 26, verse 36. The Matthew account really portrays it really well, what Jesus desired. Matthew 26, let's go to verse 36. Because Jesus wanted his disciples to pray, to watch with him. With him and for him, okay? He wanted them to pray with him and pray for him. But let's go to Matthew 26. Let's go to verse 36. It says, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples," now he's speaking to them in general. Again, the 11, Judas is not here. He's coming with the temple guards, okay? So the 11 left. He says to the 11, "Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder." And so you guys sit tight. I'm going to pray over there. But look at verse 37. "And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee," that's James and John, "and began to be sorrowful and very heavy." So Jesus specifically picks the three, Peter, James, and John. You three come with me. Everyone else kind of sits back and holds the fort down. But these three come, kind of go one step further. And he tells them in verse 38, now Jesus, he is extremely sorrowful. And his soul is in torment because he knows what's coming. The disciples are kind of oblivious, okay? But he knows what's coming. Verse 38, "Then saith he unto them," now he's speaking just to the three, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death." Wow. "Tarry ye here and watch with me." Now, watch with me. He's not saying watch me, okay? He's saying watch with me, and that means pray with him, okay? He's not just saying watch me suffer. He's saying, pray with me. Okay, that's what he's saying. Watch unto prayer. Okay, so that's what he's saying. So Peter, James, and John, he confides in them. I mean, what would you do if someone told you, "I feel like dying"? Because that's what Jesus is saying. I feel like I'm going down. Can you pray with me? I hope we would pray with them, right? I mean, if someone says, "I really need your help. I'm being overwhelmed. I don't know what else to do. Can you really pray with me?" Now, Jesus doesn't tell this to the disciples at large. Now, they were all his disciples. But when you read the scripture in the ministry of Christ, it is quite obvious that Jesus had his inner group. And Peter, James, and John, sometimes Andrew, but mostly Peter, James, and John were especially close. In fact, out of all the 12 disciples, they were the closest to Jesus. Peter, James, and John. In fact, these three, Peter, James, and John, were the only one that went up the mount with Jesus, and he was transfigured before them. Another time, Peter, James, and John were the only ones that went with Jesus to Jairus' home. He had his daughter who had died, right? He goes in and makes a diagnosis that she's just sleeping. Everyone else laughs into scorn, but he only had Peter, James, and John come because they saw him raise her from the dead. And so these three, Peter, James, and John, were especially close to Jesus, even compared to the other disciples. What I'm saying is Jesus desired prayer partners. He wanted Peter, James, and John to watch with him. He's confiding in them. Says, I'm not to say I'm going down. I'm just saying he's exceedingly sorrowful even unto death. Okay, we can't in my mind fathom the emotional agony that Jesus went through. We know he sweat drops of blood. Okay, so it's extremely time of duress, and he wants Peter, James, and John to pray for him and to pray with him. Of course, we know the story. They drop the ball. They fall asleep. Okay, but the point is, it's a blessing to have a prayer partner. It's an extra bonus if your prayer partner won't fall asleep on you. Okay, but what I'm saying, to have a prayer partner, it's again, not to say rarity, but it'd be wonderful if more Christians had prayer partners. If you have a prayer partner, someone that you pray with, that's a treasure. Cherish their prayers. That's a huge blessing. I think back of my time in Eau Claire at our sending church. I prayed every Wednesday with Brother Otis. We kind of rotate Brother Otis sometimes with Brother Dave. And that was precious, very intimate time. I mean, we would be praying to the Lord. They would cry. I would get teary-eyed. It's just the two of us. It was a wonderful thing. In fact, James says it best this way. Let's go to James 5. James 5, verse 16. Well, we know the second half of the verse, the effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Don't miss the first half. And so James 5, and then verse 16. Now, this is speaking, the context is a prayer partner. This is what James 5:16 is about. This is a context. It's a prayer partner. It's not so much, you know, outing yourself in front of the whole congregation. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about a prayer partner, someone that you're very intimate with, someone that you can be vulnerable with, someone you can let your guard down in the sense that you can share with them your most, the greatest burden to your life, okay, or the greatest struggles that you're going through. You might not be, you know, comfortable sharing with everyone, you know, that kind of thing. But maybe there's some easily besetting sins that I struggle with. I got to do this week. Pray for me. I don't know how I'm going to do that. But it's talking about a very intimate prayer partner. Look at verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. It could be, certainly could be a physical infirmity. Yes, that certainly can be that. But it can also be my struggles. Things that no one else knows, I can confide in my prayer partner. It could be my easily besetting sins, like, oh, I really struggle with this. Brother, can you pray for this for me? It's like, oh, me too. And we pray for each other kind of thing. You know, someone who loves me, faults and all, and will pray for me. If you have a prayer partner like that, that's a blessing. That's huge. I'm very blessed that my wife, she prays every week with her brother. That's precious. I hope that's a good testimony that rubs off on my kids. They're always praying on the phone together. That's precious. The blessing of praying together. Now let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And this is another passage that we are very familiar with. 1 Thessalonians 5, of course, Paul is kind of wrapping up his encouragement, his instruction to the church at Thessalonica. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, don't miss the context. Let's go to verse 11. Don't miss the context of how he wraps up the epistle. 1 Thessalonians 5. Let's go to verse 11. The Word of God says, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. So they're doing it. He's saying, keep on doing it, right? Don't quit doing it. But the context of verse 11, this is addressed to the church. It's not just to individual Christians. We cannot comfort ourselves together if we're not together. I mean, it's so obvious, but that's the emphasis is on a church, not an individual Christian. Keep that context in mind. Verse 12, and we beseech you, brethren, he's talking to the church, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Same context, a collective body. Now we exhort you, this is plural, brethren, right? Warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. This is what the church is supposed to do as a whole, as a body. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, no one in the congregation to do this, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Obviously, we have, you know, it's a blessing to do this individually. Okay, but he's also addressing the church. Okay, don't miss the context. He's addressing the assembly. Pray without ceasing, more so than private prayers in the closet. This is pray without ceasing for verse 11, when you comfort yourselves together. Okay, so this is when the blessing of praying together. Pray without ceasing. Pray together without ceasing. Verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. And different applications, right? If I'm thinking just individual Christians, of course, I don't want to sin in my life. Absolutely, that will quench the Spirit in my personal life. But for a church to quench the Spirit, don't quit praying together. That quenches the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Within the church, elevate preaching and the power of doctrine, the Word of God. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the continue, right? Keep continuing. The early church did it till the Holy Spirit came. And then, of course, we do it till the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. Verse 24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Verse 25, the context hasn't changed. Brethren, still plural, the church together. Pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. Because when a church that prays together, they stay together. Their hearts are knit together. They can pray with one accord. And they genuinely love one another. When you pray for each other, when you pray, when you have a prayer partner that prays for you and you pray for them, when their prayers get answered, you're blessed. What a blessing. Verse 27, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. Well, we just did that. We just read it to Northside Baptist Church. I mean, what? And so these principles, these truths are for all of God's people to pray without ceasing together. You know, it's a tremendous joy to come together in prayer. Even if we can't make prayer service all the time, at least, you know, really try to sometimes. Maybe once a month, whatever the case may be. It's just a blessing that we don't want to miss out. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, again so much for the joy and the privilege of prayer, but also the blessing of praying together, corporate prayer. And even now, Father, knit our hearts together, Lord, as we would pray according to your will in unity and agreement, that your will be done. We do pray, Father, for, the Lord's Day Sunday, Church in the Park, bless that. Help us, Lord, as individual Christians to be about thy business, to keep sowing the seed, not be weary in well-doing. But Father, we ask, as a assembly, that you put your hand of blessing and protection on Northside Baptist Church. Help our light so shine before men. And bless this precious prayer time to come. We thank you, Father, for our prayer partners, our prayer teams. What a joy that we can do that even tonight. In joy, in prayer, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.